Yep.
All right, I'd like to call this Tuesday, November 22nd, public meeting of the Garrett County Commission to order. Welcome, everybody. Thank you for coming. And if everyone please stand, Commissioner Titchener will give the invocation, and please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
It's all about the word of prayer. Precious and loving Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come to you with thanksgiving in our hearts. We would ask that you be with each and every one of us through this Thanksgiving season, and that we all stop to pause and reflect upon the season and give you thanks for all that you do for us. We would ask now that you be with us in this meeting, that everything that is said and done would be pleasing to you. We ask all this in our most precious holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. Mr. Nolan, do we have any additions, corrections, deletions to the public agenda?
Yes, sir, we do. At the end of the, when we open the public meeting back up after the public hearing, we're going to add the consideration of adoption for resolution number 2016-7.
All right, duly noted. Do we have a motion to adopt the agenda as amended?
So moved.
All right, and I'll second, so the agenda will be approved by mutual consent. Everybody got a copy of the minutes in advance of the meeting. Is there any questions, corrections to the minutes? Hearing none, do we have a motion to approve the minutes?
Motion to approve the minutes.
And I'll second, and the minutes will be approved by mutual consent. Okay, the first item on the agenda is Garrett County Purchasing Department with a couple bids. Brian, what do you guys got for us?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. There's two bid awards for your consideration today. The first of which is a construction project for Meadowmount Trail Phase 2. This is basically picking up where Phase 1 left from Frank Brenneman Road, carrying on. I don't think there's enough funding to get all the way over to New Germany, but finishing out as much as we can with the remaining budget. The bids were due back on October 20th. We did receive a total of 7 bids. I've provided a bid tabulation to you previously. The recommendation today, I also want to point out, is contingent upon the SHA concurrence and award. I'm still waiting to hear back from the State Highway Administration on their approval. But the recommendation, based contingent upon their approval, is to award the contract to Bico Enterprises, Inc. for a total bid price of $240,123.60. We're looking at a 60 working days for the notice to proceed to complete the work. And the project is funded with 3 different funding sources, ARC, National Rec Trails, and we recently received some Maryland Heritage money. The total available funding is $329,346.40. Any questions on that?
No.
The next one I have, gentlemen, is for aviation gasoline and aviation turbine fuel. Bid number 16-1027AF. Bids were advertised and were due on Thursday, October 27th, 4 bids were received. Recommendation, talking to Roads Department and the Airport, is award aviation gasoline to Aero Energy and the Jet A turbine fuel to Epic Aviation. And the contract would run from November 1, 2016, expiring October 31st, 2017, with the renewal option of 2 additional periods in the same conditions and terms. The market will remain firm during this contract period.
Questions? All right, hearing no questions, do we have a motion to accept the bid from Bico Enterprise for the Meadow Mountain Trail Phase 2 and for the aviation gasoline for Aero Energy and Epic Aviation?
Motion to approve.
All right, I'll second. Question on the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Okay, next up on the agenda, I'm pleased to welcome Judy Carbone from the Commission, Garrett County Commission on Women, and our newest member, Maureen Myers, to give us an update on the listening tour held on September the 20th.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
So thank you for allowing us to give a presentation today on the recent listening tour conducted by the Maryland Commission for Women. As you know, the Garrett County Commission for Women is commissioner appointed. We're a group of women who have been tasked with identifying issues prevalent in the community that impact women who live here, and reporting them to you. And so this was one activity that we decided we would very much like to be a part of. Last year at the Maryland Legislative Agenda for Women, we met with the Maryland Commission for Women representatives. They told us of their plans to conduct listening tours around the state. And we asked them very much to be here in Garrett County. And they were pleased to be here. They came here on the 20th of September. And this information that I've presented to you is actually the report that the Maryland Commission for Women generated. As you know, the Maryland Commission for Women is a statewide organization appointed by the governor. We are not connected with them. Garrett County Commission for Women was appointed here in the county, so we are independent, but we work very closely with them, or hope to work even more closely with them, so that they can help us with the things that we are interested in doing. The format of the listening session that took place was completely coordinated by the Maryland Commission for Women. The executive director came, as well as some commissioners from other county commissioners, and they conducted a listening session here where they facilitated a discussion within the 30 representatives from the community who attended. And basically, we came up with a list of issues that were of concern to most of the women there. This particular paragraph I thought was a good summary of what happened. It is in the report there, but it talks about that we had a good range of women who were attending, and that overriding the entire forum was a sense of isolation that the participants communicated to the commissioners who were representing other areas because of our distance and sometimes our technology challenges. And they were really struck by that. They hadn't expected that. Overall, 150 total votes were cast. Basically, each person who was there got 5 different votes to identify their top choices out of 22 issues. And the top 6 issues that came out were pretty interesting. They were of surprise to the Maryland Commission for Women. They're very different than some of the issues that were on the minds of women in other parts of the state. But these were the issues that kind of came out. They won't be a surprise to us here, but they certainly were of surprise to the women from the Women's Commission. The main issue that was of concern to women who attended was, of course, poverty, particularly for single mothers. We did then brainstorm some potential solutions. Again, none of these are really new, but there were a group of women in that group that were very committed to seeing what they could do to help on some of these. Additionally, a primary issue was inadequate public transportation. This seemed to be connected to some of the economic development opportunities that women in the room felt that they had, as well as other women. The issue of the driver's license and the lack of opportunity in the high schools for students to get their driver's license education was very much an issue discussed. We also very much talked about domestic violence and sexual assault. It was certainly thought about in the room that this was an issue that was underlying so many of the other issues that women in our community face. We brainstormed some possible solutions or some issues that needed additional conversation. Certainly, again, these are all issues that we've talked about in our community, but they still are very much on the minds of the women that were in attendance. A need for more women in leadership positions in the community was also very much talked about, and that we felt that there were many women in our community who, for one reason or another, don't run for public office or don't take leadership opportunities, And there were some ideas that were generated about developing more initiatives that really encourage particularly our young women to consider running for public office, and also as well as offering some leadership training potentially in the schools. Okay, come on. Okay, it's not going. Well, let me just kind of talk off the report then. Unless I can call Maureen up here maybe while I'm talking to see if she can get it to advance. The fifth issue was the need for economic development that focuses on jobs leading to careers with benefits and retirement plans for women. There we go. Thank you.
What button did you hit?
Okay. I don't know what I missed. And, of course, this was also an issue that was felt to be underlying all the others. It's certainly not as much of separate issues as they are really a cyclical issue in a whole. And then finally, addiction was talked about quite a bit, especially opioid addictions, and the need to increase availability of treatment services and also enact legislation on the state level that could be helpful to this issue. So these were the six issues that were deemed to be most on the mind of women in our community now. We then talked about what kind of might be next steps. Now that we had this listening session, an opportunity for women to express what's on their mind, what would happen next? In terms of the Maryland Commission for Women, they will continue the tour around the state and identify the issues that are impacting women in each of our communities or counties. They then will create a report for each of the listening sessions, which is the one that you have in your hands now for the Garrett County listening session. It is quite fascinating, by the way, to go and look at those reports from each of the communities and how similar and how different at the same time some of the issues are. They have a listening tour online survey for those women who cannot come to one of the online sessions. There is a survey open until spring of 2017 that asks similar questions to those that were asked in the listening session. And women who could not attend are able to express their voice as well. After the listening sessions are completed, they will compile results across the state and generate a report that will go to the governor and the legislator about what are the issues impacting women. For the Garrett County Commission of Women, our next steps, we certainly want to have you be aware of this information. We also hope that, as we've expressed to you before, that we can continue to bring more issues and activities and suggestions to your attention, so we will continue to do that. We also want to encourage more local women to participate in the online survey. Within our meetings, we will continue to discuss ways of promoting the issues and identifying solutions, continue to inform the Garrett County Commissioners of our progress, and hopefully publish some of our results on our own website. The two websites that we wanted to share with you today, one was that online survey that is available for the Maryland Commission for Women. We hope that all of us can continue encourage women to participate in the survey. And then we also have our own website that we update with information. And finally, just a thank you. These are the current Garrett County Commission for Women members. There were some other ones who were hoped to be here but couldn't be here today. And we do hope that you will continue to know us better and that we will continue to bring you more information.
Thank you
so
very
that's
much.
It. Are there any questions or?
I just appreciate you guys being involved, and it was a great opportunity for the state committee to come up. And again, we apologize for not being able to be there. That was our meeting in Pleasant Valley, which almost at the exact same time, so.
And I thought maybe that would go off, but it didn't. We were sorry that you couldn't be there, but we really understood. And the Maryland Commission was also understood. And they were very happy to be here. They had a great time in Garrett County and said that they would be coming back.
Good.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I'll try to close this.
Okay, next up on the agenda, we are actually going to close the public meeting to open a public hearing. The public hearing is related to proposed amendments to the Garrett County Water and Sewer Master Plan. So in order to do that, I need a motion to close the public meeting and open a public hearing.
Motion to close the public meeting and open the hearing.
I'll second that. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. We are now in a public hearing, and I thank Pat Hudnell from Department of Utilities for coming and give us a little bit of a idea of what we're talking about here and see if there's any comments or questions.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Basically, this public hearing is to present a resolution to the Board of County Commissioners to asking for approval for some proposed changes to the 2014 Garrett County Water and Sewerage Plan. This request is pursuant to requirements of the Code of Maryland Regulations, Title 26, Subtitle 3, and Title 9, Subtitle 5 of the Environment Article of the Annotated Code of Maryland. Basically, we're required under these statutes to bring these amendments, proposed amendments, to the Board of County Commissioners for adoption, and then they can be then submitted to the MDE for final approval. Quick synopsis of what we're proposing to amend revolves around the Chestnut Ridge sewerage collection area, in particular the US 219 Route 40 intersection. The amendments are going to affect pages 4-14 through 4-5 through 4-14 of the plan, and figure 4.4 on page 4.34 of the plan. Figure 4 would just be the map of the service area. Large part of the text on those pages that is affected is merely a formatting. It's been pushed back, which changes those pages, but essentially we are proposing to change the designation of a lot of the area along 40 from what we called FPS, which was beyond 10 years projected service, to S3, which is a 3 to 10 year projected service time frame. The area was expanded a little bit to encompass basically the area of the proposed 219 North project. These amendments are in line with the request from the Maryland Department of Planning to expand the area and designate it as a to be served within 10 years. This allows them to expand the PFA area, which then allows that project to go forward. So this is sort of a housekeeping issue. Any questions?
Pat, I'm assuming that Grantsville's been made aware of this.
As far as I know, yes.
I would like you to double check that.
I will.
Any questions, Larry? Is there any, this is a public hearing. Are there any questions or comments from the audience on the topic at hand? Yes, sir.
Is there anything that could speed up Rosedale water and sewage? It's really bad up there, and the sewage is coming out on top of the ground. They won't do a thing about it. The health department won't do nothing about it. It's affecting a lot of the residents' health. Some of the people who are selling their places and moving away, that's what they suggest me to do. And I'm not about to sell my place and get out. They're running fumes and edits every night. Y'all see my poor dog, he's losing his hair. They're spraying my yard. And people won't come to my house, because when they come to my house, they come in my yard and that, it starts burning. They're using a lot of brake cleaning stuff and that. And stuff gets on you, and man, it itches you. I've been to the hospital and that 4 or 5 times, and the chemicals they're using that for cleaning parts and that on automotive stuff. I've got tapes of them, pictures of them sucking in the yard, spraying the stuff and that, and throwing it off the ground. Nobody would do anything about it. I've lived there about 6 years, September the 5th, and I've been going through my 14th to get home. I went to start my car today, and then I built a garage more or less and pulled my carport in. They're spraying afraid something drastic's going to happen, not only with me, some other people. I've talked to about a dozen other people who are in the same position. I don't know if you know Robert Kelly and that. The sewage comes right down behind his house, man. It stinks. It's running into Little Yawk. The other way it goes down, and it's running into Big Yawk. I want to talk to some of the people, get a hold of some of the people with the Yawkagini watershed and that. Because the raw sewage is going right in it, and also chemicals in that. And the health department won't do nothing about it.
You've talked to the health department?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Mr. Stewart's been in the office several times, and appreciate you voicing your concerns. As we've said, I think ultimately it's a project that Oakland needs to pick up. It's not paramount to this public hearing, but
right.
Definitely keep coming into the office, and we'll keep working on it for you and see what we can do.
Another question, was in Rosedale called Hungry Hollow at one time? You know, I'm 74 years old. Back to whenever where I live and where Don Nine's place is and that, and Lester is the auction place. Sometime in that, if you get a chance, and go to his place on Friday evening when he has a sale and go to his bathroom. The people's going outside and they're using the outside and that's the wall changes. And Melinda from the health department checked. And I think there's only one place in Rosedale that's got a septic system. The rest of it is a septic. Like, and the sewage, you know, I can bring tapes in at my camera and that, where it's got the tape on and that. The sewage is coming right on top of the ground and that. And it's running into both streams and that. Well, I think it's one stream that there's on mine because, like that.
Right, well, Pat's on it, so.
And I've also talked with, I think it's Dave Baker, with the the trash in that, and he's supposed to be pushing it too. And I want to get a hold of, what is it, James Smokey?
James Stanford.
Yeah, because, you know, it's going right into the river, Yawk River and Little Yawk, and both of those are supposed to be trout streams and that. And I put lime on my place, a lot of lime on my place. It did help my water a little bit. You got to go to the source, and there's no use treating something if you can't get to the source. And Robert Kelly and that, and there's a few people that's trying to sell their homes and that, and away from there. That's the reason all those houses along Route 39 or Hutton Road and Oak Elm Road is for sale, and that the water's bad.
Okay, well, we'll Pat's on top of it, and I know that you've talked with the town of Oakland because they would have to annex. They would be the ones that would have to run the water there. That would be their project.
What about Crellin? Couldn't Crellin run their sewage and water up there if they run it to
Hyde? It's a little far out that far. It's a lot closer to Oakland.
Well, yeah, I know it's a lot closer. There's a couple houses, and all this public stuff and that is businesses is in Rosedale and that, and they're selling food and that, and the water's no good. They're selling bad stuff. It's moldy and that, and boy, it's not only me. There's about 30 families that live there in Rosedale.
And I know Kevin spoke with the health department multiple times.
Sorry to interrupt you.
That's all right.
Rosedale town one time.
I don't think so. Not an incorporated town, no.
Well, what about Crellin that was incorporated at one time?
No.
Didn't they have a mayor down there at one time?
I don't think so.
Yeah, Dale Upholm that back in the 60s was mayor.
I don't know. I can't comment.
Rosedale, what do you have to do to get a mayor?
you'd have to incorporate. That's probably a conversation for another time. The public hearing we're in right now, specific to Chestnut Ridge, but if Kevin will be happy to help you with how to incorporate. There's a lot, you need to think long and hard to whether you want to incorporate and try to incorporate Rosedale. But it could be done, and there is a process, and we'll be happy to share that information with you.
What about the master plan of Rosedale and that, what's the, they first said 3 years, now it's 10 years. And I know Rosedale's been fighting since 1950, trying to get water there.
And that's... Go ahead,
it is called out in the master plan as a priority area, or at least a known issue in that area. But again, it's the county develops the plan, but we develop it in conjunction with Oakland and Grantsville and Accident and those types of areas. But it's still really up to Oakland to push that project. So, I mean, while we do specify it and call it out in the plan as an area that is a problem area and needs remedied, the county doesn't really have the authority to step in and run that project at this point.
Right.
That's
in Oakland's tier.
Yeah, and I'm more than happy to go sit down with you with Oakland and talk to them about options and try to help them develop a plan for that, but it's really going to be up to Oakland to initiate that project. I mean, definitely more of a public presence is going to sway meetings and opinions.
And that would be more the town of Oakland meetings with
every
mayor.
Time I go there and they call the sheriff's department and the deputies comes and assist us out of her office. Not only me, but a couple other people there. Robert Kelly met, I don't know how long ago it's been, but it's been, I know, probably in the neighborhood 6 years or more. They got a petition that, and the people in Rosedale did sign it, and they took it to the mayor and the mayor lost it. Now I'm the people don't want to sign it.
Pat, can you get us a update on where Oakland is, if Oakland is?
Oh, well, yes.
Right.
Yeah, because the people's help, it's knowing me, there's about a dozen people, maybe more. I know there's at least 10 or 12 families.
Sure.
Got the health problems, same as I got. People, you can't open your windows, you can't open your doors. And there's people in there that's doing this stuff, they know after 5 o'clock the health department will come out and see their hoses there. And come by my place at 9 o'clock at night and smell it and see it and see them. Here last Friday I called to him and his girlfriend out there spraying the stuff. And they'll see my house and that is my shingles just come loose and that. And it's not only my place and that. Mr. Kelly's place is the same way.
Nope.
They're going down by his place. Mr. Bates's place, and then his sewage is running right into that stream, and that, and it's only me.
Sure. Okay. Well, we appreciate your comment. We have to move on, and we have the information. So.
Yeah, it's cost me about $11,000 when I docked the building at the port, and the docks stated the chemicals coming from them.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Any other questions or comments on the proposed resolution? All right, Pat, thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, gentlemen.
At this time, we'll take a motion to close the public hearing and reopen the public meeting.
Motion to close the public hearing, reopen public meeting.
And I'll second that. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? We are now back in the public meeting, and the next item on the agenda is the adoption of Resolution 2016-7, which is what the public hearing was on and what Pat just talked about. And basically, Resolution 2016-7 says the 2014 Garrett County Water and Sewerage Plan was prepared to support the continued development of water supply and sewerage systems in Garrett County, Maryland. The state code of Maryland requires the Board of County Commissioners, the governing body of the county, adopt and submit to the Department of the Environment an amendment of the plan if the county considers amendment necessary. Before the county may adopt any amendment to the plan, the county must give notice, time, place, public hearing on proposed amendment, together with summary amendment in accordance with provisions. The county has proposed amendments to the plan, specifically the Chestnut Ridge Collection System. The proposed amendment shall replace pages 4-5 to 4-14 and figure 4-4 on page 4-34 of the plan, and basically do exactly what Pat said in the presentation. So, any questions on the resolution 2016-7? Hearing none, do we have a motion to adopt the resolution?
Motion to adopt the resolution.
I will second that. Question on the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Resolution 2016-7 is adopted. And thank Pat for all the work he's done on that and all issues related to water and sewer in the county. Thank you, sir. I do want to, for the record, note that Commissioner Heimball is out of town for the holidays. And we needed to have this meeting tonight in his absentia for pretty much that public hearing so we could put that to bed. That brings us to the conclusion of the business part of the agenda. We do have time for some public commentary. Is there any public commentary or questions? Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I think some of you are aware that I am a citizen observer of the Shale Gas Advisory Committee, headed by Cheryl DeBerry, and they graciously accepted public input from me at each meeting and been very, very generous in allowing me time to present my concerns and issues and feelings. I did volunteer to serve on the selection review committee for the economic impact study that was recently solicited proposals and proposals received, and I did give my input along with four other citizens to Brian Bowers. I was expecting, as a citizen, and what I observed was that we would be in a position where we could be finished the proposal process, solicitation process, and reviews have been completed. Brian's done the analysis, at least as far as I understand. Can you give us an update on where that procurement stands? I would like to have asked when Brian was here, but...
That's understandable. We have received feedback. Where we are right now is we have had conversations with MDE. They indicated that they would be willing to financially assist or more than assist us in that process. So we are waiting to hear back from them, which we have not yet, to see how much, if any, they'll be willing to put toward that particular project, and then go from there.
Any ballpark idea?
Actually, I had a conversation with them today. Both MDE and Commerce are looking at potentially helping to fund that, and they are aware that of the process, and I've asked for some kind of determination as quick as possible because the study will take potentially 6 months. So they're aware of that, and they're working through their process there. So I'm optimistic that they're going to provide funding.
Would that be in addition to the funding that's already been designated through ARC and through the county budget?
Yeah, it would be additional funding, yes.
Additional funding to allow the scope of the study to be expanded if necessary.
Potentially. That's not a yes or a no, that's potentially.
Okay. Thank you.
Anyone else? All right, hearing none, I want to thank you guys for coming out. The next meeting is December the 5th, and that is our legislative meeting with the delegate and senator. to talk about things that we'd like to see brought forth at the legislature. They will not take public comment from the audience at that time. That will be the next evening at the college will be the opportunity for that public comment. So, motion adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.